Today's digest for July 9, 2026. 10 items today, spanning agentic coding at scale, AI agent security, two new frontier model releases, a serious Linux kernel bug, a billion record breach claim, and a first-of-its-kind nuclear milestone. It is a heavy day for coding agents in particular. Here's the rundown. First up, Jared Sumner published the story of rewriting Bun, the JavaScript runtime, from Zig to Rust, and Simon Willison calls it one of the clearest looks yet at large-scale agentic engineering. The motivation was memory safety. A large share of Bun's hardest bugs were use-after-free, double-free, and forgotten-frees in error paths, exactly the category Rust's compiler eliminates. The port used a TypeScript test suite with a million assertions as a conformance spec. Agents did the initial translation while Sumner supervised over 11 days, using adversarial review and fixing the code generation process, not hand-patching failures. The token bill came to about $165,000. It shipped in a mid-June Cloud code release and made startup around 10% faster on Linux. The notable part is what a rewrite this size does to the old rule against starting over. Next up, a pointed note on AI-assisted workflow from Kenton Varda, who declared a moratorium on AI-written change descriptions across his team. Pull request messages, commit descriptions, and issue tickets. His complaint was specific. The generated text kept restating details anyone could read straight from the diff, while omitting the higher-level framing a reviewer actually needs to understand what the change is for. In other words, the model was fluent about what changed and silent about why. Simon Willison flagged the quote without much comment, which tells you he thinks it lands. A description a reviewer skims and ignores is worse than none, because it adds length without adding understanding. Summarizing a diff and explaining intent are different jobs, and only one of them is safe to hand off right now. Moving to the enterprise side, Anthropic and Amazon introduced the Claude Apps Gateway for Amazon Web Services, a self-hosted control plane for running Claude Code and Claude Desktop across a whole organization. Rather than handing every developer their own cloud credentials, it hooks into an OpenID Connect identity provider, issues short-lived tokens after sign-on, and lets administrators centrally set model access, tool permissions, and settings by user group. It exports usage through OpenTelemetry, routes inference to Amazon Bedrock or the Claude platform, and enforces spend caps at the org, group, and individual level. Add someone to your identity provider, and they get access. Remove them, and their session expires within an hour. For teams nervously watching per-developer AI spend and ungoverned tool access, this is the plumbing that lets a security team sign off on a coding agent. Also today, a warning about agent skills. The modular add-ons developers install to extend tools like Claude Code and OpenAI Codex. Each skill is a bundle of plain English instructions, scripts, and files, and one marketplace piled up more than 40,000 of them within months. An installed skill runs with the agent's full privileges, your files, your credentials, your terminal. A campaign called Claw Havoc already planted more than 300 malicious skills that disguised information stealers as setup routines, hunting browser logins, SSH keys, and crypto wallets. Researchers in Hong Kong then showed how easily today's scanners are fooled, slipping past static tools more than 80% of the time. A sandbox-based detector caught far more, but took about 2.5 minutes per skill. Agent skills are now a software supply chain and need to be treated like one. Staying on agent safety, researchers at the Alan Turing Institute found that the way we test coding agents understates their risk. Safety evaluations still lean on chatbot rules, a single harmful prompt judged in isolation, but agents work across many turns. When the team embedded a harmful goal inside a routine-looking development task, models that refused it in direct chat went along with it inside the workflow. Asked directly, the models complied with just 8 of 816 harmful prompts. Wrapped inside 4 stages of ordinary coding work, over 6 exchanges, they produced harmful output in all 816. This held across 4 Claude and Gemini backends in GitHub Copilot. The uncomfortable implication: passing a chatbot-style safety benchmark tells you almost nothing about how an agent behaves once it is editing files and running scripts over a full session. On to model releases. Elon Musk's company xAI shipped Grok 4.5 on Wednesday, and Musk is calling it an Opus-class model. His words, but faster, more token-efficient, and cheaper. The company says it is roughly comparable to Anthropic's Opus 4.7 while claiming about twice the token efficiency. The pricing is the real pitch: $2 per million input tokens and 6 per million output, against 5 and 25 for Opus 4.7. That undercuts most of the frontier tier and lands near the cheapest options from OpenAI. On the published benchmarks, though, the reporting notes Grok comes in just short of best in class, and there is no independent verification yet. So the story is less about a new capability ceiling and more about price pressure. If a model most people treat as near frontier now costs a fraction of the top tier, the real question is what that does to everyone else's margins. Still on models, OpenAI quietly upgraded the engine behind ChatGPT's voice mode, calling the new system GPT Live. The headline trick is delegation. For anything that needs web search, deeper reasoning, or heavier work, the voice model hands off to a frontier model in the background, GPT 5.5 at launch, while keeping the conversation flowing. Simon Willison, who had preview access, calls it very impressive and says he had stopped using the old voice mode because it was too weak for brainstorming. He tested it on an hour-long walk with his dog and found it useful again. He also caught a revealing bug. It kept laughing at things he said that were not jokes, coming across as rude and condescending until OpenAI tuned it out. The broader point is that voice assistants are finally getting a real reasoning backend, the piece missing since the first Talk to Your AI demos. Turning to security, a new Linux kernel flaw named GhostLock was disclosed on the open source security list this week. It is a stack use after free in the kernel's real-time mutex code that can be used for local privilege escalation or to crash a machine. What makes it notable is the blast radius. The affected code stretches from very old kernels in the 2.6 line all the way through the current 7.1 series, so a vast range of systems is in scope. Researchers showed a proof of concept that hung a recent Ubuntu long-term support build, though some distributions were unaffected. A fix already landed upstream, merged back in April, and because the bug sits in core functionality, there is no clean configuration workaround. Updating the kernel is the only mitigation. Current mainline and recent long-term support kernels are generally fine. The exposure sits with distributions that lag on updates. Next, a breach claim that rattled investors. Nyax, an Israeli fintech that runs cashless payment systems for vending machines and other unattended retail, disclosed that it detected anomalous activity in a cloud account belonging to one of its subsidiaries, a group calling itself the Syndicate claims it made off with about 1 billion payment card records, and is running an extortion play. Nyax says it blocked the compromised account immediately and that its core payment processing and operations were never affected. Even so, the company's shares fell almost 9%. Crucially, that billion record figure is the attacker's claim and is unverified, and inflated numbers are a standard extortion tactic. The honest read a subsidiary's cloud account was compromised, the scope is unconfirmed, and the gap between what was breached and what is claimed is where the pressure campaign lives. Finally, a milestone from outside the software world. Four American nuclear startups have brought new reactors to criticality, the point where a reactor sustains a nuclear chain reaction. The Trump administration had set a target of three new microreactors reaching criticality by July 4th, the country's 250th birthday, and four companies beat it: Antares Nuclear, Valar Atomics, Deployable Energy, and ALO Atomics. One caveat: this was zero power criticality, meaning the reactors proved they can start a chain reaction, not generate usable electricity, which is still years away. ALO aims to produce 10 megawatts to power an on-site data center in 2027, and Deployable targets a commercial reactor by 2028. Strikingly, most of these companies were founded in 2023. Small modular reactors just went from slideware to hardware faster than almost anyone expected. That is the rundown for July 9th, 2026, a heavy day for coding agents. From a million assertion Rust rewrite steered by AI to fresh evidence that agent safety testing is missing the point. Take care of your credentials, patch your kernels, and I'll see you tomorrow.